This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Pat Boldy skates onto it in the corner. Centering pass, Kachuk. Check from behind. Tries a bank shot. Score! Brady Kachuk banked it off UC Soros. Held in by Faber at the right point. Long shot. Score! Team USA takes the lead. Zone entry. Just like that, Team USA with a two-goal lead. Four third-period goals for Team USA. And they end up running away from Finland with a 6-1 win.
I'm not sure you want Bob Wachushin delivering your Valentine's greeting to your loved one. Like, it might come across as yelling and a little bit in your face, but it would come with enthusiasm for sure. We can't promise an hour full of love, but we'll do our best here on Valentine's Day with Marty. I'm Brian. Yes, we're back together, the duo, here on the 14th.
We couldn't
February.
Miss today, Duffer.
Just kidding. And I'm coming back just for you and for this and for us on this day.
Yeah, and that, and the fact that we don't have a show until next Wednesday, so you're like, okay, let me make an appearance on this Friday, because Shayna Goldman's going to be on and Josh Byrne's going to be on. We're two of your favorites, Duffer. You're like, I'm not going to miss that. So, but you're right about if Bob was delivering Valentine's, it would be aggressive, very aggressive Valentine's delivery, which was aggressive calling last night. Look, Team USA completely opened up the machine in the third period. And maybe it's because, you know what, like anybody that's seen youth hockey, minor hockey, when there's a team that's supposedly on paper much better than the other, often it takes all the way to the third period to unblock, right? And that's what happened last night. Team USA is much better than Team Finland. And even though they were down 1-0 and then it was 1-1 for the longest time, it was going to unblock at some point, and Team USA end up scoring 6 goals, and they looked pretty good in doing so.
Well, yes, they did, and there's a number of if we live in this world of expected goals for and expected this, right? Well, what else would you have expected? Big nights for the Kachucks, big night for Werenski, the guy I think should be 1-1A for the Norris this year.
Oh, yes.
And like, so it was as expected. And to your point, okay, Hellebuck gives one up early. There wasn't going to be anything else after that. Like, it's just, that's the expectation and reality now, especially when you put this type of lineup together. So now we just wait and see what the fallout, if any, is from these opening two games going into rivalry Saturday tomorrow, when Finland and Sweden play each other and Canada and the U.S. play each other.
Yes.
And what it means as far as the rosters. Like, I think the biggest question for the four teams, who plays goal for Finland? I really think that's it. Honestly, because this is not a one-off. This has unfortunately been, and it's not even just, it's not specifically him. This has been UC Saros' year to date, essentially, being on the wrong side of losses. So how much of that do you really want to put a person through?
You know, and only that, it's because it's the big game. It's Sweden-Finland. So are you going to go with, like, okay, UC Saros, you're our stud goalie, and Finland has always been watching you for the last few years with the Nashville Predators and whatever, and we're thinking about next year at the Olympics. But you know what? We're going to go with Kevin Lankinen. Why? Because we feel like Kevin Lankinen's he's played better this year. And this is a big game. Look, if it was game three and you're like, okay, Finland, you're not going to do anything. You're not advancing. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to make that happen. It would have been the same thing for Team Canada. If they had lost to Sweden in overtime, I think the big question would have been who plays for Team Canada on Saturday night. But again, it's rivalry night. It's Canada-USA. Are you going to all of a sudden change from your original plan if you're Team Canada? And maybe that's the same approach for Team Finland. Are you going to change for your original plan? Even early in the game, I didn't think UC Saros was that good. Crossbar. The one shot, I think it was Austin Matthews in the slot. Saros didn't even see it. It hit his glove. Often it would hit him, go up in the air, and he's looking around like, where's that puck? Like, I didn't think he looked good. And if you're Team Finland right now, you're saying, probably have to make a change, right? Hellebuck was fine. Gustafsson with Sweden was really good, and Binnington with Canada was okay. So
Gus got to work on his five hole.
Yeah, that was a bad one on Mark Stone's goal, right? That's the five hole.
Did Marner Crosby beat him five hole or not?
No, Marner beat him over the blocker side on entry, but still. But Gus was good. Like,
he was.
Had great chances in overtime. Yeah. But I'm looking at it, and Sweden's not putting Ullmark in just yet.
But does Lukanen get any consideration here for Finland? Or is it, like, if you were moving off of Saros, is it, in your mind, automatically Lankinen Saturday?
Yes, it is. And, maybe Lukanen would get the third game if Sweden beats Finland and they have nowhere to go. And you're like, hey, you know what? Let's give him a game.
Right. Why wouldn't
maybe you? That's the only way I can see it happening for Lukanen to get in the game. But if he did, it would be good for him. A good experience. Like, I thought this was a good experience for Jukka Jarju last night. You asked me on one of our last one-timers, the game in Nashville, was who's going to benefit from this Four Nations tournament. And I said Dahlin, right? And after game one, I'm like, I'm angry because Dahlin didn't play enough. I'm angry because he wasn't on the power play, wasn't an OT. But I felt like Jukka Jarju last night, like, it was a great experience for him. He scores a goal. He looked fine. So he's going to get some playing time at a high level, and maybe that helps him for the second half of the season.
Yeah, I feel like with Jukka Jarju, it's almost more about recreating your league-wide value. Agree?
Yes. I think so. I was joking off air, but when he scored, I wonder if, either the Sabres or other teams are like, hey, what about Jukka Jarju for depth defenseman, on a playoff team? Maybe you're a 7D, 100%. But maybe you're going somewhere to try to regain a little bit. He's a UFA, so Sabres could move him on. I think that is probably what the front offices around the league are looking for in those type of players that maybe were borderline but are getting an opportunity in the tournament.
My opinion, Jukka Jarju has a lot more value than... Oh, I don't know. I could probably list 25 defensemen over the last three trade deadlines that were moved. Yeah. And I would put Jukka Jarju ahead. Honestly,
right-hand shot, good skater, still young.
First-round pedigree, still young, tons of games played. I think he has value. I really do. And so, anyway, we'll obviously
and a potential UFA, he understands that. Look, it hasn't been a really good year, but... Maybe
I don't even understand why. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess he's not played enough. He's been kind of the odd man out. Yes. Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, I don't understand how all of this is unfolded with Jukka. And
you know what? At practice, training camp, whatever, you feel more comfortable with certain players. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jukka fell out of favor in that way. Although, I love Henry Jukka Jarju as a person. He's great. So Team Finland was asked, and it was all in Finnish with English subtitle. Like, tell us something nice about Sweden. Like, they did that to a bunch of the teams as a social media thing. Like, tell us something nice about Sweden. So most of the guys are like, nothing. In Finnish, in the Finnish language, they're like, nothing. And then they go to Jukka Jarju, and he goes, Rasmus Dahlin.
So that was my guess.
I'm like, great, great answer, Yoki. Like, that's fantastic. Like, we got meatballs and we got, like, you know, some things or whatever. Stockholm, good city, nothing, nothing. And then we got Rasmus Dahlin. It was, Yoki, you're a good guy.
Henry's hot takes. And he continued the trends. Yeah. No, I love that.
We need to bring that back.
I'm glad that you said that, though, like, because it can't always be just about certain skill set or whatever. Like, to me, show me the whole package, the person, the player, the maturity, the understanding, the care, all the rest of it, right? And and you're right. Like, there were numbers here at the start of the year. And for whatever reason, which, like I say, I'm still struggling to kind of figure out, but it can almost go back to when Yoki Haru re-signed, right? Like, it wasn't obviously length. There was no length to the deal. It was basically walking him to unrestricted free agency. So for whatever reason now, it's pretty clear he's unlikely to be, part of this moving forward. So I will continue to say that I think he has value for somebody else if it's not
a lot of value. A lot of value. So you go.
We got Josh Byrne yet? Is he on the board there?
No, but we will get him in a second here. Big game tomorrow.
Tonight. Tonight's the big one.
Yeah, you're right. Tonight's the big one at Toronto.
Valentine's Day doubleheader on your native Sun network, TSN. And it's obviously on ESPN Plus as well.
Yes.
But it's a Valentine's Day doubleheader, and it's Buffalo Toronto again. And we're looking forward to seeing how this weekend plays out with a 6-0 two-time defending champion Bandit squad having two games this weekend to try ever so slowly to catch up to the rest of the league in games played. There's only one team that's played just six times, and it's the reigning champs. And then after the game against Toronto tonight, they're home tomorrow. It's Marvel Superhero Night. And we have seen in this market, in this league, incredible jerseys over the course of time. They are some special ones for this tomorrow night. Head to bandits.com/tickets as well. And honestly, the reigning superhero in the National Lacrosse League joins us right now. He is the MVP, the finals MVP. He is Josh Byrne. How are you, Josh?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
So, how do you prepare for this weekend? Two games and back-to-back nights against some significant quality opposition.
Yeah, you know, this is a tough weekend, man. We've obviously coming off a bye week, going right into the fire with Toronto at home, at their home, and then heading into back in Bandit Land tomorrow night against San Diego, who's just sitting there waiting for us. We've got our work cut out for us for sure.
Now, when I would watch the schedule and kind of look at my schedule when I played, and I would see some back-to-backs, and you know, I don't want to say it gave me anxiety, but we used to have 20 sets of back-to-backs, and then it went to like 12, 13. You guys don't have a ton of back-to-backs in the National Lacrosse League. Like, you have one now, you'll have one in March again. Does that put a lot more stress on your preparation, knowing that you have two games in less than 24 hours?
Yeah. You know, it's definitely tough because, you know, for me, I'm someone who likes to study a lot of film, no matter if it's the goalie that I'm playing or, you know, the defense we're going against. And, you know, to have to prepare for, you know, two different defenses and two different, you know, goaltenders, you know, mentally, you know, you just have to change a little bit about your preparation. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still the same stuff. You know, you got to rely on what you do during the week, and you're just having to multitask a bit more now.
Incredible game earlier this year at KeyBank against The Rock. They're even healthier now. What's the biggest challenge against them?
Yeah, you know, obviously they're a hungry team, and they're still the Toronto Rock. You know, they've got great players, great defense, great goalie, great offense. You know, they're the total package. You know, people were kind of doubting them at the beginning, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, anytime Buffalo and Toronto come come together. It's going to be a clash. You know, it's going to be, you know, violent playoff feel. And they're the most fun. So it'll be fun.
Okay. So what has been the key for you guys this year? Has it been the offense that has been dominating and putting you over the top, or the defense who has been so good in most of those games and with Vincey and Nat? So what has been the this or that here? What has led the way for you guys?
I personally think it's been us coming together and playing as a full team, right? Like, you know, there's so much that goes into these games, you know, especially when there's a lot going on in between the lines, and we'd like to call it transition. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's, you know, the defense getting off the floor quickly to give us more time on the clock, or, you know, us not allowing their defense to get transition against our guys and getting off the floor, you know, timely and allowing our guys to play 5-on-5. You know, that's when we know our defense is best, is, you know, when they're not chasing numbers or having to play, you know, 4-on-3s or 3-on-2s quickly. And that's when Vino's at his best as well. So it's like, I think it's, you know, we're playing more as a team this year, and really, really trying to help each other out and not trying to be like, you know, even if you watch the games, you see guys hustling to the bench, right? Whether it's offense getting off on D or defense getting off on O, right? It's cool to see. And it just, I think it really shows how much we care about each other as a group.
How would you describe Ian MacKay this year?
He's a guy that I think is very good at fitting into a role that's going to be asked of him, right? Like, you watched him, you know, last year, you know, be a D specialist, great in transition. You know, when we needed him on O, he would come up and play O, do great as well. When we needed him on faceoffs at the beginning of the year, you know, he was crushing it then. And, you know, this year he's been asked to play predominantly more offense. So, you know, he changes up his preparation. He's dialed in all types, in all parts of being a pro, right? Nutrition, stretching, getting in the gym, everything. He's super focused on. I think, you know, more so now you see that his preparation when we're shooting is more offensive based and taking those offensive shots and getting looks that, you know, he knows that he's going to get during our game. So, and he's just fitting into the role, you know, seamlessly. So I would describe him as a true pro.
Josh, you obviously get a lot of points and a lot of goals, but Dane is leading the way for you guys, and he's fifth in scoring in the National Lacrosse League, but he's only played 6 games. If he was to get 10 points, you know, tonight and 10 tomorrow, he's going to be first. Like, is that a point of pride and success to see that, well, Ian is a guy that you talked about, you and Dane, like making sure that you elevate each other to get to certain thresholds in the league?
You know, we don't really look too much into the whole points thing. I think, you know, the media does a good job of trying to cover that and try to focus on, you know, oh, this guy's, you know, first, or this guy's leading this, or this guy might break this record. And, you know, I think, you know, Dane's been in the league for a long time, you know, so I've been in the league now for a long time, which is weird to say. I think the thing that we've figured out is, no matter what's going on, no matter what type of season you're having, no matter what type of game you just had or games that you have coming up, it's what you do in the week, you know, that makes you successful. So we're not focusing on, you know, hey, we need to score 8 goals or, you know, 10 points this game or whatever to stay on pace for something. It's like, we're going to do whatever it takes to make our team successful. And some nights, you know, you see either Dan or myself getting back on defense more than usual. And, you know, that might take away from our point totals or whatever it is. And, you know, some games there's other guys that are going off. Like, Mickey's had a couple big 5 goal games. Cause it's like, listen, we don't care as long as we're scoring, right? And we're playing, you know, great lacrosse as a group. That's ultimately what it comes down to. And, you know, at the end of the year, you know, we're looking for a championship, and that's really all that matters to us. So, and I think that starts at the top with Dane, and, you know, he has that same attitude. So, it trickles down pretty well to the rest of us.
Josh, it's cool to hear you talk about, you know, the back-to-back, and from a personal standpoint, you know, it's a little more challenging because of the video preparation you like to do. So you're clearly a details guy. I'm curious what it's like You mentioned they're still The Rock. Well, The Rock have become nomadic, unfortunately, over the last few years. You know, they're not in Toronto anymore, and then they were in Hamilton, and now they're in Mississauga. This is your first chance to play them in Mississauga.
Yeah.
What do you, like, what do you like to learn and feel in a new venue in preparation for a reasonably staunch opponent in The Rock? So, like, what are the nuances you go through in a warm-up out on this new field, so to speak, tonight?
Yeah, you know, I've done a lot of work on trying to control what I can control on a nightly basis. So no matter if we are, you know, the away team or the home team, I try to get in what I know I'm going to be able to get in, right? Like, I know that no matter what arena I'm playing on, right, there's going to be a door, right, where I can attach my bands to, where I can do my band workouts, my band routine. I know that there's going to be a net there where I can get out there and shoot my shots and do what I can do. You know, I know that I'll be able to get into the locker room and do what I got to do in there and stretch. And so that's for me what I try to focus on. I like being able to at least get there for shoot around, to see, you know, the path of walking into games. And that's all I really need to know at a new venue is, okay, how do I, you know, kind of maneuver this? And that way, when I'm going through my prep, you know, in a couple hours here of, you know, visualizing walking through and walking into the game and all the way through to winning the game and heading home, I can see it all happening before, you know, it happens.
Mm-hmm. Josh, obviously lacrosse is a North American sport, Canada, U.S., but, you know, we're watching the Four Nations face off with the NHL players being there. Do you think it will grow to be like countries in Europe and maybe everywhere around the world kind of seeing how fun lacrosse is and developing into, at some point, we could have teams from many other countries take in a international tournament like we're seeing?
Yeah, and honestly, first of all, you know, it's really cool to watch this Four Nations Cup right now. Like, I don't know when the last time I've been this excited about watching a hockey game is, and from a kid who grew up playing hockey and watched it nightly, like, it kind of brought back that little kid in me. So super cool to be able to see that the NHL is doing there. But yeah, you know, I think lacrosse has that ability to start to stretch to other countries. And you've seen it in the last couple of World Games and in the Sixes World Games. You know, Japan got third for the first time. They, you know, they won a medal in the first time, I think, ever. You know, in the box game, you know, it's normally Canada and the Haudenosaunee in the gold medal game. And this year it's Canada and USA. So it's really cool to see the game starting to grow and flourish, you know, in other countries. And, you know, it's cool to be, obviously, to be able to rep Canada while doing that.
Good luck tonight. Good luck this weekend. Thanks for the time, Josh.
Awesome. Thanks for having us. Or me.
He's speaking
well,
on behalf of the
We have multiple people on Zoom, so that's why.
Exactly.
Thanks, Josh. There is Josh Byrne, reigning MVP of the National Lacrosse League. It's part of a busy weekend. They're at The Rock tonight. They are home to take on San Diego tomorrow on Marvel Superhero Night. As everyone probably knows by now, tickets are not that easy to get anymore. You're always looking at, upper level seats in Bandit Land. So get them while you can. Bandits.com/tickets for Marvel Superhero Night tomorrow. And this is a really, really interesting weekend, Marty, for me with this matchup. So it's Toronto tonight. It's San Diego tomorrow. Last week, Toronto and San Diego played each other, and it was very, you know, kind of typical of this NLL season. San Diego was up 9-5, and going into the fourth quarter, Toronto rattled off 5 goals in a row and got up 10-9, only to have San Diego score twice in the last 90 seconds to win the game. So yeah. 11-10 was the final there. Both teams are incredibly deep, as far, especially Toronto now that they're healthier. Mm-hmm. So it's a good matchup. The league top, you know, it's unified standings, no divisions, every game matters. So anyway, it's
a game of runs, Duffer. It's a game of runs. You go up, you go down. It's the way that it goes. And you always have, you know, chance to come back. And that's what I like about the games, is because it's fast paced that way.
All right, we'll take a break. Back after this on Sabres Live.